Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you. Hey, everybody. This is Adam, co-host of the podcast you're about to listen to. Just a heads up, this episode was initially recorded way back in 2017, or maybe it was 2018, depending on the episode you're listening to. Who knows? But in case you're wondering what the hell is going on, what we're doing here at Pretty Scary and Conspiracy the Show is releasing some of the back episodes that we've been sitting on for the past couple years that used to be Patreon only. Sure, the stuff you're about to hear about is a couple years old, but the episode's new to you if you've been listening for free. If you want to hear new episodes of Pretty Scary and Conspiracy the Show, subscribe on Patreon. There will be two new episodes every single month of both of those shows, and you get bonus episodes of all the other podcasts that I co-host and a bunch of other good stuff for just $5 a month. It's the only place to hear new episodes of Pretty Scary and Conspiracy the Show. That said, maybe you can't afford to subscribe. Maybe you don't want to give me money. Maybe you can't afford it and just don't want to. Hey, that's fine. I understand. For you, we'll still be putting out episodes you haven't heard before. They'll just be some of the older episodes from the early Patreon days and the early Connect Pal days. Anyone remember that? I certainly don't. Anyway, patreon.com/unpops for new episodes of Pretty Scary and Conspiracy the Show, bonus episodes of all the podcasts I co-host, and lots of other stuff. Give us more money. We'll send you a birthday card or something. Anyway, let's get to the show. Thanks, everybody. We love you.
Welcome to Pretty Scary. With your hosts, Caitlin Cutt, Gary Martin, and Ben Todd Brown.
Also, you got it all wrong.
Also, Pretty Scary Boo.
Oh, yeah. Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
That's how I know when the episode actually starts.
Oh, yeah.
When I go in and do editing, I hear that and go, what? Oh, okay.
Yeah. You just stop listening to us. I do that sometimes when anytime I'm listening, I hear my own voice when I'm recording the show. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the worst. And then I hear Carrie. I'm like, okay.
I just always put like our first 10 minutes in we do an outtake show.
And it's good to know. All right.
No, I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, you've never heard the outtake? No, they're great. They're so much fun because it's
good.
Always like the one time I didn't was our last episode where I don't know if you remember, but the first 10 minutes was just us like singing about AIDS, kind of. And normally I would put that in the clip show, but
thank you for not putting that on the internet.
No, it's
like
on
us
there.
Just singing.
It's in the episode.
Oh, it's in the episode.
Yeah, I heard there's a lot of talk about how it did well. It was a hit.
It's the subscription only one though, so it's
it was a hit with the listeners.
Just barely public.
Oh, good.
But you said leave it in.
No, I know. You're never gonna get a message from me that says please don't do that. I know what I'm doing. I just forget. That's how I cope. Is like I leave this room and I'm like behind me. It's behind me.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way too. Like I have to
I'll get done editing a podcast and be like, what should I call this?
I
just listened to it and I don't even fucking remember.
I torture myself when I edit White Wine True Crime because I'm like, that was kind of gnarly. Should we leave that in? 99% of the time I leave it in. Every now and then I'm like, I'm gonna take that out.
We've gotten better though about censoring ourselves, and by we I mean me.
And me.
Yeah, but you weren't that I mean, usually I was the one.
Remember my Lester Holt comment? I had to edit that one out.
What was it?
Yeah, no. it was bad. It was I had been drinking a lot that night. I'm not saying anything.
I feel like I should edit this out.
You should. No, don't, because I'm not going to explain it.
We're going to get a letter from Lester Holt.
1 degree from the president.
I was going to say, right. He was there when the presidential debate.
Yeah.
So this is what he's doing now?
Listening to us.
Listening to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary.
Because
and
he heard it was
letters.
Number two on Up Rocks.
Well, it'll get.
No, it's because we know Josh.
It'll get to him. Yeah, it'll be like a word of mouth thing where it'll get back to him.
So you are 2 degrees from Josh Mankiewicz.
I know.
And we're 2 degrees away from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. That's
and
weird.
Keith Morrison.
More importantly, 1 degree from Keith Morrison.
Yeah, 1 degree.
Yeah.
Keith Morrison's pretty great.
He's the best.
Remember Bill Hader's Keith Morrison?
It's perfect.
On SNL?
Yeah, his is.
Bill Hader.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
So good. So, truthers.
Okay, I really wanted to do an episode on truthers.
This will be exciting, yes.
Because, guys, I'm not gonna go down the road of why truthers are wrong. Because you're either a truther.
Yeah.
I figured we could possibly do that, but that's a boring episode, and this isn't Radiolab. I'm not gonna do that.
Right.
But I thought it would be good to just kind of start with the definition of truther. It's a noun, originated in the U.S. Usually a modifier, a person who doubts the generally accepted account of an event, believing that the official conspiracy exists to conceal the true explanation, a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
So first piece of information, what we used to call conspiracy theorists, they're truthers now.
Yeah, now we call them truthers because that
the truthers are out there.
That definition is interesting to me because I've always thought of truthers and conspiracy theorists as two different things, but I guess I don't know why.
I would say they are different just simply generationally.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because a conspiracy theorist is like, look at the dollar bill's got a pyramid on it. But a truther's like, what we're going to get into, it's like, those are crisis actors.
Yeah.
I feel like conspiracy theorists somehow have more class than truthers do.
A little bit, yeah.
So they believe something's wrong, but they don't know what like the solution is?
No, they think, okay, so we'll let's just go ahead and start.
They're basically conspiracy theorists with way less shame. Because normally a conspiracy theorist kind of keeps it inside, and you have to like really pull it out of a coworker to find out that they think there's like a global Jewish conspiracy
among
truthers, all banks.
Truthers, they all have like Tumblr accounts.
Yeah, you just bring up 9/11 like and they're going to spit out some facts for you.
Jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams. They'll just say it.
Tom DeLonge was a truther, right? For UFOs?
He's a conspiracy theorist, in my opinion, and a UFO
advocate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pro UFO.
Profo.
That's our next episode.
Tom DeLonge, please come on our show.
Please, Tom DeLonge.
I just spent basically 5 minutes explaining why you're better than a truther, okay? So we're not calling you a truther. This isn't a trap. We really want to talk to you.
We really do. Come promote that book.
Oh, man. Okay, so like, let's just start nice and easy. A vaccine truther, also called anti-vaxxers. Basically, they believe that vaccines are bullshit and they are... okay, so one of their theories is that vaccines aren't effective.
Right. They question like 4 points when it comes to vaccines.
Let me just also say I picked the ones I saw the most. Because there are literally for each of these.
Yeah, there's tons.
There's so many different truths that are out there. So one, they believe that vaccines are just bullshit. Two, they believe that vaccines carry toxic chemicals. And they're just basically made of mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, and sodium.
Right.
So they're saying better sanitation ended diseases before vaccines were introduced, that our sanitation has gotten worse?
Great question, Carrie.
We're more unsanitary?
You're finding the problem here.
Yeah, because what they don't explain is when these diseases come back, which has happened with a lot of these.
I recently got a whooping cough shot. Who knew?
Yeah.
Well, you need one now because people aren't vaccinating themselves or their kids.
A lot of, I've had friends who have babies, and unless I've gotten a vaccine within a year or two, they won't let me hold them. Or that's what they tell me.
Oh, man, Carrie. I'm glad you got that whooping cough vaccine because you can hold the kid when the when the child arrives. They also believe that there's just no more need for vaccinations because the most dangerous diseases have been eliminated in wealthy countries like the United States.
Because of vaccinations!
Let's just I know. Calm down. There's also another problem with that statement. We're going to come back to it. Vaccinations have basically become unnecessary. So let's come back. Yes, because of vaccinations. Here's my other problem. Countries like the United States. So, right, any other country.
Right, right. But fuck them.
I know. Or fuck us.
Yeah.
Because if you're not vaccinated and somebody, you know, takes a trip out here from wherever.
Right, right.
And they sneeze like an outbreak.
Exactly.
Like the movie Theater and Outbreak, which is what I just kept seeing over and over again while I was writing down these very salient points of these anti-vaxxers.
Great points.
Like, you remember that scene in Outbreak? Did you see Outbreak when you were a kid?
Yeah.
That guy, achoo! And then it's like, it's kind of like a whimsical way that a virus spreads and like some of it lands in popcorn.
Dances across the crowd.
And another woman's like, ha 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 ha! And then like the spit kind of travels in her mouth. Oh man. And I'm a loud laugher. I mean, I'd be down. Like that. That's me. That's how I die in that little town in Outbreak right there.
It would get you for sure.
Also,
was that the one where Gwyneth Paltrow died first?
That's Contagion.
That's
That one too. No, Outbreak was the one with Dustin Hoffman Rene Russo. No, this is like 96.
Yeah, Matt Damon was Contagion.
And Gwyneth
also.
Paltrow started bleeding from her eyes.
Contagion.
Also Contagion. Yeah.
Nope. Don't know Outbreak.
I actually really like Contagion.
I thought about it, but I do not know.
I like Contagion too. And I think that honestly, we're going to have another massive outbreak because of assholes like this. And we're already seeing that.
Yeah.
There was a polio outbreak in Ohio because of small cloister of people that didn't believe in vaccines, you know, just decided to not vaccinate their kids and all the kids got polio.
Isn't that what put FDR in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one right.
You got one right. It's also how you end up in an iron lung. Iron lung, ladies and gentlemen.
It's even been, like, even among, like, the NHL, measles is spreading. And they don't know if that, like, it could be tied back to people not getting vaccinated. It definitely spread in part through the league because there were several players who were like, whatever, I wash my hands. I don't need to get vaccinated. Jesus. And that's how it fucking spread because they just didn't get the shots.
What bothers me is that if you're – okay, so let's say you are strong enough to handle your weird disease that you contracted.
Right.
There are people with compromised immune systems that aren't. And, yeah, they might have been vaccinated, but if they're in chemo or they have some other autoimmune problem, they could still get sick and die.
Right.
So there's that. And then, of course, the famous one, we're giving kids too many vaccinations. It overwhelms a child's immune system. And it results in autism.
Yeah.
There's so many problems with that, but look.
The science, but the study that produced that claim has been proven to be just completely invalid.
I just don't know.
Such a long time ago.
Why you literally want your child to die on this hill.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you need to be right about this?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I just want all of these adults to go to the hospital and get intubated.
Yeah.
All of you get intubated and sit with a tube down your throat for like a week and then talk to me.
Yeah.
That's what being sick, that's what happens.
And you never hear the too much argument about
money.
Yeah. Money. But also, what's the fucking word? Like penicillin. What is the word? Antibiotics. Like
you never hear
people talk about using too many antibiotics, which we totally do as a country.
Yeah.
And that's going to kill us too, because diseases and viruses evolve.
Superbugs.
Yeah, they evolve to match what we're doing to stop them. And if we're all just taking antibiotics constantly, it's going to, when we really need them, they're not going to fucking work. I never fucking take antibiotics.
And you're going to get one just for walking in your creepy gym shower.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when I'll finally start, like, because when I get sick, I just stay home.
Well, when you have the flu, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Because also, all they can do is give you codeine. If you have the flu, you can't take antibiotics.
I mean, I'll turn out to a doctor's office for a bottle of codeine.
Good. That's what you should do.
If you take antibiotics, I believe, as a female, don't you get yeast infections?
Yeah, you can.
And then you have to take medicine for that. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, actually, every time I am given antibiotics, I ask for a prescription of Diflucan. Because I'm just like, I know what's going to... Just give it to me. Like, I already know. And I get a weird
Sometimes
thing.
They prescribe it now. Yeah, the two together.
You have to.
Our old OBGYN used to.
I know.
I can't even remember her name anymore.
Dr. Franklin.
No, before her.
Oh, I can't remember her name right
Vanessa
now.
Vanessa Caleb.
Yes, Caleb.
Dr. Vanessa Caleb.
Yep. She was a cool lady.
Official OBGYN of White Wine True Crime.
She is, actually.
Yeah, but now it's Dr. Franklin.
Yeah, who's seen both of our vaginas. Isn't that interesting?
Nice.
I was going to leave a nice...
Same thing with the Fitvine people, weirdly enough.
Yeah. It was a weird year.
Strange.
2016.
It's going to leave a good, a positive Yelp review for Dr. Caleb, especially before she moved to San Francisco. But then I noticed that she had... some customers who weren't very happy with her services, and she would like answer them back. And I was like, I think I'm going to leave this Yelp alone, even though it was going to be positive. It got Yelp. Very hairy.
I hate Yelp. I hate Yelp with all of my being.
So let's talk about some famous anti-vaxxers.
But she still was like 4.5 stars.
Yeah. This is a long list. So first,
it's longer than it should be for sure.
Jenna Elfman, which is like, go away, Jenna Elfman.
But aren't a lot of these people too Scientologists?
Jenna Elfman is, for sure. Yeah.
Well, Scientologists, Christy back Elias. To that, they have all sorts of problem with medicine in general.
Yeah, and they don't like vitamins, or they're pro-vitamin.
They're big on vitamins.
They're pro-vitamin, they're anti-
That was one thing I remember about
mental.
Tom Cruise.
That was the weird lecture.
No psychology, but yes, vitamins.
Right.
Which
you're being all lived. Traces back to L. Ron Hubbard getting denied mental health treatment when he was in the Navy. It's like he just held a grudge against mental health from that day.
But a lot of the anti-medicine stuff kind of came later. He didn't have a ton of time to develop that.
Yeah.
Some of it, I could go on and on about Scientology, but that's a different podcast. So Jenna Elfman, Jenny McCarthy,
Jim Carrey by proxy.
Jim Carrey by proxy. Yeah. He was pussy whipped into that one.
Exactly. You might not still feel that way.
I'm sorry. Like, there's no way Jim Carrey...
Is that a pussy whip dinger?
It sure is, yeah.
Yeah. I felt good about it. Alicia Silverstone, you know, why learn how to parallel park where everywhere you go has valet? So, whatever.
She still, like, breastfeeds and lets her kids sleep with her and stuff. What's it called?
Like
she, like, chews up her food and puts it in their mouth.
Oh, yeah. She does the bird, like, the mama
bird.
Oh,
yeah.
Guys, I promise the kid's you, like I'm six. Not doing any of that.
Will you please do all of that?
Practice on Jeff.
No, because
Will
I
you
think,
breastfeed until your kids are like 9?
I think that makes
that's
the
what
worst
they want
kind of kid.
Then you give it to them.
No,
it
yeah,
sure
I'm gonna,
does.
I'm gonna be a big no mom.
Mayim Bialik does it.
Well,
I edited a Cracked article about parents who do weird shit with their kids, and one of the entries was about this mom who breastfed her kids till they were like 9 and 11.
Your sex will be weird now.
And there's this clip in the video that we put in the article.
Is this it tastes like mango.
Yes.
Yeah, I know
Sweeter
that one.
Sweeter than mango, even.
It's really gross.
Oh, breast milk?
How she described breast milk.
When you can describe it, it's time to stop.
Yep.
That's how I feel. Charlie Sheen. You're going to see him a couple times on these lists.
Charlie
drink
Sheen.
Your breast milk?
Tiger blood. Really?
Yeah, I think I would.
Really?
Out of anybody's, yeah.
Well, when you put it that way, I understand. I mean...
Yeah, that does make it a little better.
Doesn't it kind of soften, the blow a little bit?
I was a girl who was out camping in Arizona, and these guys had a taser, and I was like, taser makes, I want to know what it feels like.
I forgot
So
about
as soon
that,
as you Carrie. Bottle up your breast milk, when you're not looking, 100% I'll try it.
Did they tase you?
All yeah. Right.
How'd it feel?
It hurt.
That was one of the funniest stories. Oh, what episode is that on White Wine True Crime? That is a very funny. I'll just look it up. Yeah, Carrie just flat out was like, I got, sends me a text message. Oh, yeah, okay, so Carrie sends me a text message and says, she's like, I'm having fun with these people here at the river. I'm like, great. And she goes, one of them has a taser. And I was like, and then she goes, I'm going to ask him to tase me. I'm like, don't do that. And then I didn't hear from her for a day and a half because her phone died. She doesn't think that what she sent me is troubling.
No.
I literally checked my phone like 100 times in a 24-hour period. I'm like, is Carrie okay? I sent her like, hello?
I was just on the river. I was tubing.
Yeah, just fine. Caitlin won't mind me getting tased. Okay, so Charlie Sheen, Kirstie Alley, Selma Blair.
This last one surprises me.
The president of the United States is an anti-vaxxer?
Yeah.
A little concerning, I agree.
Well, you know who our president is, though.
Like it says it right there, Donald Trump.
That makes it a little more understandable.
Really? I feel like he's so straight-laced and narrow and, like, he would say that's what you do. You get vaccines.
He gets all of his news from Fox and Friends.
Here's what I'm going to say. I don't think he's an anti-vaxxer.
I think he didn't like fake news.
That's the irony of the time we live in, isn't it?
Yeah. That's half his tweets are just, he'll hear something on Fox News and just tweet it out. They've, like, charted the timing of his tweets.
Here's what I'll say. Out of everybody on this list, I could find a lot of supporting material. There is some supporting material recently of Donald Trump saying that. I don't think that means he's an actual anti-vaxxer. I don't think he cares.
Yeah, he's probably cool.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think he knows or cares. I think he might have said it because his base is, you know, awful or something. Speaking of awful, going to move on to a topic that I think will inspire you, Carrie. Okay. AIDS truthers.
Yep.
AIDS truthers.
My favorite kind of truther.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Nope.
Well,
I don't agree with this one.
Okay. Okay, AIDS truthers. A person who denies that HIV causes AIDS or that it is possible for heterosexual people to become HIV positive. So it's a gay thing, and also, sorry, science, it does not turn into AIDS.
Right, right. This is a weird movement because it's a thing that's popped up more than once.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that it started because of how AIDS was perceived when AIDS first hit as a homosexual blood cancer, like, period. That's what everybody thought it was. And they thought, well, the only way you're going to get it is if you fuck a dude in the butthole or a dude fucks you in your butthole.
And it came over from Africa in a monkey.
Inside a monkey. Yep. He was imported here inside of a monkey.
And then somebody was a monkey fucker, right?
I think.
Or was it like zoo and the monkey fucked somebody and then they died?
I don't know that it was either of those things specifically.
The legend,
there's like a really racist myth.
There's a legend of AIDS that I think we talked about on one of the episodes where for a long time people thought that what happened was a dude fucked a monkey, a dude fucked another dude, and then there was probably a couple dudes, and then one of the dudes was a flight attendant who fucked a bunch of people all over the world. The flight attendant story is true. There was somebody that did that, but there was no monkey fucking.
The flight attendant was the monkey.
What an adorable flight.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing?
But what if they could also fly the plane and they were pilots?
I'd be happy about that.
I'd rather be in that plane.
That's how AIDS spread. Plane flying monkeys.
Yep, that's how it happened. And another great connection to Outbreak. Moving on.
Yep.
So
that's when Gwyneth Paltrow falls to the floor.
Yeah, with AIDS.
It's the one where Kevin Spacey sends her head to Brad Pitt.
In a box.
At the end, in a box, yeah.
Okay.
I'm
familiar.
We have really come full circle.
That's Outbreak.
This is the weirdest game of 6 degrees of separation I've ever played.
Outbreak, you don't talk about Outbreak, right?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, exactly. That's the first rule of Outbreak.
First rule.
Mm-hmm. Second rule is don't fuck monkeys. Okay.
Right.
So basically... I like just the definition in Wikipedia, so I just cut and pasted it because it kind of made me laugh. I could tell the person that wrote this was pissed off. HIV/AIDS denialism is the belief, contradicted by conclusive medical and scientific evidence, that human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, does not cause acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS. Some of its proponents reject the existence of HIV, while others accept that HIV exists, but argue that it is a harmless passenger virus and not the cause of AIDS. Insofar as they acknowledge that AIDS is a real disease, they attribute it to some combination of sexual behavior, recreational drugs,
nothing wrong with those,
malnutrition, poor sanitation, hemophilia, or the effects of the drugs used to treat HIV infection.
Right.
That's a wide conspiratorial net to cast.
It really is.
This, to me, is the big definition, the line between a conspiracy theorist and a truther. Because the problem with truthers is that their thinking is allegorical. In that, if it has the structure of the same theory, they'll just adapt it.
Right.
They're not looking for specific evidence the way, like, there's no bulletin board with strings.
Yeah.
They're not actually building an argument.
It's just that they know.
Huh? Yeah, it doesn't look like our logo.
What happened?
Callback
to our car coasters. Yeah.
Great. Don't roll your eyes at me, Carrie.
So
finger me.
I can't look at you.
We did it.
So it all started.
So you have to have all of these. to get AIDS.
That's like the all problem is that it's, you don't have to have all six. You don't like get Yahtzee. It's like you.
Or bingo.
It's any of these things. Like, so, oh, you have AIDS, which totally you didn't have HIV. You were probably a hemophiliac. Or are you gay? Or did you do drugs?
Yeah.
It's
are
all,
you under a lot of stress?
Yeah. Now we're in Scientology land.
Right.
Then everyone in the world would have AIDS.
Exactly, Carrie.
Yeah.
Correct. So in 1987, this guy, okay, his name is Peter Duesberg, but we're going to call him Douchebag. Peter Duesberg questioned the link between HIV and AIDS in the journal Cancer Research. Douchebag's publication coincided with the start of the major public health campaigns and developed he developed AZT as a treatment for HIV/AIDS.
Don't they call that the Ryan White drug now?
AZT was gnarly.
Because
I don't know if they call it the Ryan White drug.
My friend has AIDS. Like, I'm not bragging, but he does.
Well, everybody's got somebody.
1 degree of AIDS.
You got 1 degree of AIDS. Careful with that 1 degree.
But he said, he was like, oh, yeah, like when I go to the doctor, they're like, oh, you're supposed to be getting the Ryan White drug. So I don't know if that's like street slang. Or that's what they call AZT now.
People slanging HIV drugs. AZT was super gnarly. AZT.
You got some of that white? Got some of that R white?
Did you see Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
So AZT was the drug that Matthew McConaughey hated so much. Because AZT was just like basically like nightmare chemo.
Yeah.
And it just kind of killed people. But in 1988, a panel of the Institute of Medicine of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, pardon you, found that, quote, the evidence that HIV causes AIDS is scientifically conclusive. That same year, Science published Batner, Gallo, and Tiemann's HIV Causes AIDS.
Great record.
Yep. R.A.P. Greg Allman. And Douchebags, HIV is not the cause of AIDS. So, also that same year, the Perth Group, a group of denialists based in Perth, that name is not very creative in my opinion.
No.
Western Australia, led by Ilani Papadouse.
Papadopoulos.
Hey, whoa. Published the non-peer-reviewed journal Medical Hypothesis that their first article questioning the aspects of HIV/AIDS research, arguing that there was no compelling reason for preferring the viral hypothesis of AIDS to one based on the activity of oxidizing agents. In other words, they're just throwing out medical terms and saying, nah, science.
Yeah, right.
Take a chill pill. And I think it's just because they hated gay people.
It does kind of seem that way.
Well, so basically the AIDS truther movement, you find when you start to research this, there's a lot of dovetail with homophobia.
Right, for
it's
sure.
It's basically that world. I mean, so if you don't like gay people, this is a really interesting little rabbit trail to go down.
It's an ideal rabbit hole to go down.
I'm really hoping that you like gay people because I'm a huge fan of gay people.
You know what? I think they're great. I don't get the problem.
Oh,
get everyone's
LA Pride
issues.
Next week.
There we go. LA Pride next week.
I mean, I'm not
London
going to that.
Pride was last week.
But
I went, but we're going to be gone
like
for the
anti.
Parade.
Are you a parade person, Carrie?
I do like the Pride parades. I think they're fun.
I haven't been to a parade in a long time.
No, not all parades, just Pride parades.
Just Pride parades. Okay, yeah. I can see the distinction there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm not going to a stinking parade.
Yeah, because there's kids there. I think that's what it is.
I don't
like kids.
Parades. Yeah, one of the, as far as AIDS truthers.
Sorry, that's just really funny to me. Because what my brain did was like kids, and then I imagined people that made balloon animals, and then I thought of the gay pride parade where I saw a guy once making balloon animals out of condoms.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
I'm back.
Yeah. That.
Those gays, very talented.
Very.
With latex.
Very, so much so.
History has proven.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Da Vinci.
Yeah, one of the famous AIDS truthers, the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. I wrote about it a long time ago on Cracked.
It was really weird researching this topic and accidentally finding Adam's article.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and then I totally forgot to A, include it in the notes, or B, even bring it up to Adam, then I found it.
So all of the Foo Fighters collectively.
Well, what happened?
I don't know.
Back in 2000, they started doing benefit concerts for a group called Alive and Well. And it was the idea of the bass player, Nate Mendel. He's apparently the one that was tied to this Alive and Well group, but he also convinced the rest of the band, apparently, that this is a thing we should put on a free show in Los Angeles for, which, that's kind of a big deal. Like, It's the literally you signing your name to that
cause. Yeah.
And
it's like they're trying to be you two and stand on the Berlin Wall and wasn't working out.
Yeah. He went so far as to suggest that anyone seeking an HIV test should look up information about Alive and Well first.
Fuck you.
Which that makes nuts, me so man. Mad.
Well, and because first of all, nobody wants to be like, okay, this is what I want to say. If you're worried about having AIDS, you're going to take every excuse that you can get to convince yourself that you don't have AIDS.
Yeah.
Like, you just are.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that kind of thinking, that kind of endorsement is so dangerous, and I just really hate them for doing that.
Yeah, especially when it's directly saying, don't get tested.
There was this guy that I went to high school with who loved the Foo Fighters, and for a long time, my only proof that I had that the Foo Fighters sucked was this one guy, because this guy sucked.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, this guy loves them, therefore, the band sucks.
Right.
So, but now that I have this, I don't have to explain this guy that I knew in high school anymore.
So this says that even though they were going to do more concerts promoting this, that as of 2008, there haven't been any record of them.
Yeah, well, they also haven't come out and said, like, are bad.
Yeah, they haven't denounced it. And the 2008 thing is, as recently as 2008, there were still banners for Alive and Well on parts of their website. But it could have just been a part that they forgot to take down because it was like an abandoned part of their website.
Worst PR people ever.
Yeah, like get a better webmaster. But
the webmaster. I am the webmaster.
It's
a problem.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And they in the article I wrote, I mentioned there's a really great Guardian article about HIV deniers, and it talks about the case of a woman named Carrie Stokely who was diagnosed.
Almost spelled like my name.
Look out, Carrie.
Carrie with two R's.
Shit.
That's the wrong way to spell it.
It's too close.
Yeah, that indicates that she's susceptible to AIDS and HIV infection.
Good news for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was diagnosed at the age of 29 and discontinued treatment after 11 years because she saw a YouTube video that said she didn't need to get treatment.
On her.
Died of pneumonia a few months later.
A lot of people with AIDS die of pneumonia.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
A lot of them die of pneumonia. Because you just get the flu. Because, you know, pneumonia is basically, it starts as the flu. And then your lungs get an infection and then you get pneumonia.
Right.
So it stands to reason that if you don't have an immune system, you're going to get the flu from just being somewhere. And then you get pneumonia and you die from complications of AIDS.
Corey Haim, pneumonia.
Bernie Mac.
Pneumonia.
There's a lot of people that die of pneumonia.
Greg Allman. not pneumonia.
Kidney failure.
But, yeah, probably.
But
oh, definitely.
Jeff May posted something, I think, on his page saying that Greg Allman
died in Savannah.
Yeah, and raped a 13-year-old girl
in
Savannah.
No, he did not say that. Let's be really clear.
What did he say? Well, Greg Allman got a girl addicted to heroin.
Oh,
and,
that
like,
was it.
Made her his girlfriend, and she was like in high school at the time. And then she eventually grew up to be the porn actress Savannah, who killed herself at the age of 23.
And she dated Pauly Shore, right?
She also dated Pauly Shore for a time.
Yes,
also.
I saw her E! True Hollywood Story.
But yeah, Greg Allman.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greg Allman.
God, that she was got a great in a car show. Accident, right?
Greg Allman fucking wrecked her. Like, it was.
Well,
really
we've
bad.
All dated a guy that's done that.
Well.
Yeah, but.
But.
Also, his music sucked, too. So, you know,
boring.
Fuck him.
Fuck him. Like, Greg Allman, Pauly Shore. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, depending on the time. Like, if it's early 90s, it's like Pauly Shore, Greg Allman.
No, I think she died, and the last person she had sex with was the Weasel.
Yeah!
The Weasel.
That actually made me sadder than anything we've talked about in this episode so far.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the last
just
thing.
Just wheezing the juice.
The last thing about Alive and Well, their founder, Christina Maggior, died of HIV-related complications in 2008. I almost said compilations. Probably the same thing. A bunch of different
it's
complications.
A compilation. No, yeah.
Stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. Your body gets hit with the greatest hits.
Yeah. And so much for her theory, I guess.
Yeah. There's a little bit more about douchebag, but like I'm not going to get into it. He's a douchebag. And the people that think that AIDS isn't real, truthers are stupid.
They really are.
All right, here's another. Okay, so I'm going to say this next section, there's a very fine line between a 9/11 truther and a conspiracy theorist.
Very fine line.
I don't know where the line is, but this is where, if there's like a Venn diagram of truthers and conspiracy theorists, 9/11 fits nicely in the center of all of this.
Yeah, the thing with 9/11, there's so many conspiracies around it. There's, you know, there's some that are...
I couldn't even find one definition. I've listed four.
Because there's so many different moving parts when it comes to 9/11.
Literally. Like
there's, yeah, literally. But like, there's definitely some 9/11 conspiracies that I think are more believable than others. Like there was...
Yeah.
For a long time, there was the... Yeah. There was the... Well, there was for a long time... The suggestion that we were maybe hiding how complicit Saudi Arabia might have been in it.
Sure.
And then there were papers
that's
released
that
did.
That's a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
And well, that's a conspiracy theorist,
and they released
in my opinion.
Papers that did kind of corroborate that Saudi intelligence was. And then there's like jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
That's a truther.
Right.
So there's the difference.
Michael Moore was a conspiracy theorist, right?
Because
he did Fahrenheit 9/11, and I think that was kind of along the lines of the Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it
was
more...
very anti-Bush.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah, that's more, I would say, he's just really liberal.
It was more questioning the Bush family's ties to the Saudi royal family and why we didn't investigate the Saudis more.
I felt like Fahrenheit 9/11 was like, okay, so... Here's the hijackers. Here's 9/11. Why are we in Afghanistan? That to me was kind of what that documentary was about. But that was a long time ago.
Which was an excellent point.
Yeah. Well, and then there were like 100 documentaries that came out.
Yeah.
Which is not to say it's not a good point, but it was fairly obvious. And I think that is more journalist. So there's like journalism, conspiracy theorists, and then truthers. That to me is the hierarchy of IQ and worthwhile human interest.
Right.
So, okay. So let's just start with a zany one. I like this one. I call this the false prophecy. The claim about French physician and astrologer Nostradamus supposedly having predicted September 11th in the granddaddy of all 9/11 rumors. I found that and I thought that was kind of funny because it's just like, that's funny. It's like the granddaddy because it's like Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Like he is the kind of the grandfather of all of these people.
We get it.
Do you?
Do a ding for
do
it.
Do you?
I think that's what she's waiting
for. A ding?
For.
No, yeah. That's only for when people use the C
word. It can
word.
Also be a not Nostradamus.
That's good. Yeah. All right.
There's
that's
intensity
good.
Eagle.
That's a good. I like that. So basically, this was one of the first ones that hit. So it's like everybody that's watched a History Channel episode on Nostradamus, which there are a lot of great ones.
Yeah, there's a Nostradamus episode for everything.
Yeah.
There's a Trump one. There was one about the Trump election before
Nostradamus,
Trump got elected.
Nostradamus cranked out a bunch of ideas.
Yeah.
And so one of the first ones that really hit the internet was this Nostradamus prophecy, because that seemed like kind of... Also, if you think about the internet was a different place at that point.
We needed a 9/11 to bring Nostradamus into the internet age.
Yeah,
because
thank
before
God.
Then he was just like a relic of library research.
Yeah, it's too much work.
And then this came out, and we're like, whew, really looking into the guy again.
Yeah,
maybe he did it.
Maybe Nostradamus did 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone ever get mad that they had to learn the Dewey Decimal System?
I'm mad. I still don't know why I spent so much time learning that.
Yeah,
I mean the Dewey Decimal System was like the internet was not around, so they just. I definitely couldn't explain the Dewey Decimal System right now.
No, not
could
at all.
Could you, Carrie? Do you know how to?
Maybe. It's like letters and numbers.
Good job. Yep. Okay. All right. So then there's like this weird tourist one. So for 2 months after 9/11, the internet was kind of obsessed with this image of a jetliner bearing down on like, so it's a picture of this guy standing on the top of the Twin Towers. And there is, the angle is a little weird. It does look like the plane is hitting the building, which would have been impossible for him to survive because anybody that was that high up in the Twin Towers didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. The observation deck also wasn't open that day. So no one would have been up there taking tourist photos.
Oh, where'd you hear that, Adam?
The internet.
A government-sponsored website?
WikiLeaks.
Uh-huh. All right.
I have a WikiLeaks subscription.
Snopes is really left-leaning. You shouldn't check that either. So basically, it was just like, he was kind of like this mysterious tourist guy that everybody got obsessed with. And he's proof that 9/11, I don't know what this proves, but truthers love this guy.
Yeah.
Like, see?
I've never heard of this. So have you guys seen this picture?
Yes.
I can find it real quick.
Yeah.
You know who I bet it is? I just want to see who you guys think I would guess.
Jeff May?
No. And how dare you say that? You just wasted 2 good seconds of airtime on his name.
Airtime. Right? Because 9/11.
Here it
Do
is.
Do it. Ding yourself.
I love that. Here, Carrie, this is the guy.
And see, there's the... Huh. Yeah. I don't know if there's a better...
No, I mean, that about does it.
Yeah. In it, there's so much wrong with that picture. First of all, that the person taking the photo would have still lined up for the photo, because you're going to see that plane coming for miles and miles and miles. And I'd be like, hey, that...
Move
that,
left.
That no, plane is below you. Let's go down a little.
No, 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 you're left.
But if it landed differently, like it had a smoother landing, how cool of a picture would that be?
Yeah, if it just landed next to him, if that was the point of 9/11. Yeah.
So basically, they found out that this obviously was photoshopped in. And
right.
It's, you know.
Is that Osama bin Laden photoshopped in there?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay, if you had to pick who I was thinking it was going to be, who would you think?
Kirk Cameron.
No. You said, and it was like the worst. Okay. No, Dale Earnhardt.
What?
Senior.
So you just, before seeing, I just want to bring up
first
the fact,
of all, wasn't he dead by then? By
well, that's the thing. So right after he died in that crash, apparently
Adam,
his ghost.
That's the thing.
Oh.
I didn't realize that.
Be careful. Don't start a whole other truther theory here that this is, that the weird tourist guy is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Senior.
Senior, my
Junior's
bad.
You're still around.
You're right. You're right. Okay. This one is kind of my personal favorite.
The Wingding theory is a weird one.
The Wingding theory. Basically, people believe that Microsoft's intelligible, stupid set of fonts, Wingdings, is somehow connected to the 9/11, to the events of 9/11.
Yeah, the way it worked was around the time of 9/11, if you typed a certain phrase in,
yes,
which was typing the letters NYC in Wingdings, gave you a skull and crossbones. A six-pointed star, and a thumbs up.
Yeah. Well, the Star of David is always at the root of horrible things, I guess,
every
for
conspiracy
theorists. Like, not a pentagram, mind you. Star of David.
Yeah. Which, have we ever used Wingdings for anything?
No.
I feel like this is real, and it's the first legitimate use of Wingdings. Like, I feel like the person who coded this was like, this will be funny.
The person, they were stoned? They accidentally selected Wingdings and started writing 9/11, and then they figured this out by accident.
Yeah. Nuts.
I kind of.
I mean, yeah, it's a weird one.
What's the fucking thumbs up supposed to be, or the Star of David, or any of this?
Like, that it was a Jewish conspiracy.
Right.
Thumbs up.
Because a bunch of them called out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another one. The next one.
The Jews stayed safe on 9/11, apparently. The conspiracy theory focused on a people or groups that had supposed foreknowledge of the 9/11 attacks. The most prevalent rumor is that 4,000 Israeli employees of the World Trade Center all mysteriously stayed home from work on September 11th.
That's so many employees.
Yeah, I don't
know. I feel like there weren't 4,000 Israeli employees. Only not even 3,000 people died in the attacks.
I feel like you know the exact number, but you were one off the last time you listed it.
I don't know. Maybe it's 2,996.
Okay. Said 96 last time, and
did
it was
I?
Like 97.
No!
Listen, I don't want you to beat yourself up over getting this wrong, but...
Oh, I had...
You're losing so much street cred with the truthers who listen to our podcast. Googled this.
2,996 people.
Good job. Whew. Okay. Fifth one. You can't just melt beams.
Can't do it.
This is the famous one. This is the big truther one. I'm gonna say. I'm gonna call this the capital T truther.
Yeah,
theory.
I think the controlled explosion theory is the biggest 9/11 theory because people have all sorts of speculation as to who did it. But I think the one thing truthers all really agree on is that the building came down in a controlled explosion, as opposed to
clearly they've never seen Dr. Malcolm explain chaos theory in Jurassic Park.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Is Gwyneth Paltrow in that one?
Yeah, it's the one where
but
Brad Pitt sends Kevin Spacey her head this time.
Yeah, but
Gwyneth Paltrow's in a room eating spaghetti.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of car fresheners.
Right, yeah. Right. She's really ceiling. Fat, and they've yeah. been force feeding her.
The head
right.
is delivered.
And Jack Black's in that one.
In a right, small right. amber stone.
Yeah.
Specifically. Yeah, I mean, I get it, but also it's like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it. Part of it is just like they can't fathom that this happened. Because there are also Pearl Harbor truthers, by the way. I didn't, like, yeah. go down that road, but...
Yeah, the Pearl Harbor truthers, it's an interesting... Like, the Pearl Harbor thing almost is more believable because at least there's an end game to it. At least we know... And I guess with this, people are like, oh, the end game was to go into the Middle East and get the oil. But... With the Pearl Harbor thing, at least it was like, yeah, we knew it was happening, so we just didn't do anything because we wanted to get into the war. Like, people can really define what the point of that conspiracy would have been. With this one, it's not as...
No.
Is it kind of weird? Like, I remember being in Hawaii, and there were a bunch of, like, Japanese people going to, like, the Pearl
that
Harbor
oh, go
monument. But, like, going to, like, the Pearl Harbor monument. Is no, that a little...
People go to Japan and go to...
Because... You know what they did to us.
Sick burn.
They just go there to point and laugh. Well, I don't think there's anybody heading over to Hiroshima just being like...
Hiroshima?
Yeah. Just wearing hats that look like...
Yeah, make America great again.
Airplane cockpits.
Maybe we should teach them a lesson. Like, show them...
I think
like,
we're,
how do you think
I feel
this
like
feels?
We taught Japan a lesson in World War II a little bit.
It was the ultimate slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Okay, and then finally, I'm calling this you Pentagon stupid.
Right.
And this is just your basic, the hole wasn't big enough for the airplane to be the yada yada.
Right. This one, have you seen Loose Change?
Of course. Mm-mm.
What's crazy about Loose Change is the guys.
Who's in it?
It's
Brad Pitt.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Brad
is that
Pitt,
when they first
Kevin
started
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
People like that.
He's great in that.
Oh.
Yeah, he
and
plays
then
the plane.
He was... Antonio Banderas had like a guitar.
It's a cartoon. It's an animated
And he was
thing.
Walking away, and then the building goes
yeah.
up in flames.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explosion.
And then, yeah. And
then.
He's
with Salma Hayek, I believe, is one of her first.
Explosion. Mm-hmm.
She's the one that drops all the change.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Loose change. Get it?
So, anyway.
Loose yeah, pesos.
He started this documentary as a spoof. Like, he went out intending to make a spoof of conspiracy documentaries. And people just started taking it as fact and just ran with it. And he eventually was like, all right, I'll be that guy then. I'll just pretend this thing's real and make money that way.
Gross.
But if you look at like one of the opening scenes in Loose Change, they're like, how come there's no airplane debris in this picture? And then if you look at an uncropped version of the picture, there's like wheels and yeah. engines and there's oh, wow. all kinds of airplane debris. But he just cropped it and intentionally made it look fake, and people ran with it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. People are dumb.
Well, I also think, you know, as we've been discussing this and I've been processing all of this information, I think the big difference between conspiracy theorists and truthers is we're talking pre-internet and internet. And I think the internet has made people lazy and stupid.
Yeah,
and
for
they,
sure.
And they confuse access to information for being informed. And I think that... That's the most dangerous part. So,
yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's go down the list of 9/11 truthers. We've got Charlie Sheen at the top of the
course.
List.
His second time, he was also the vaccine guy.
Dragon blood. Tiger blood, sorry. So it's tiger blood,
but
right?
He wasn't the one who was on the AIDS. He wasn't an AIDS truther.
Well, he can't be now.
He's an AIDS truther now.
He's living the truth of AIDS.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark Ruffalo, which weirdly disappointing.
Disappointing, yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell, keep your koosh balls to yourself, all right, lady?
Yeah.
It's just, you know. Then we got Woody Harrelson. I see that.
He's a hot... Yeah. What would she always say about Tom Cruise? He's a hottie patati or something.
Hottie patati.
Like
yeah.
Hottie patati.
Or cutie patootie.
Cutie patootie was another one.
Woody
Sorry.
Harrelson, I can see.
Oh, yeah. He gets high and talks
like
about
Like, he's
this.
A fucking lunatic. Roseanne Barr.
I also could see.
Definitely.
She's gotten weird.
She's really weird, yeah.
I mean.
She got weird once she confessed to being molested and, oh, I was going to say aliens, but she wasn't the one with the aliens. That was Anne Heche.
Yeah. Anne Heche was the alien.
But also right. a molestation story, right?
I don't remember that, but I can
I
see
it.
Molest alien.
And then the one
Actually,
that I think
that was, right,
yeah, that was really good.
Thanks. I like that.
Marion Cotillard.
That's weird. That's
the fuck.
Yeah.
And I was taking these notes and I said her name out loud because Miles knew, which, by the way, side note, really funny moment in our marriage. over the holiday weekend, I was putting this together, and Miles like, oh, what are you doing? He like glances at my computer and it just says 9/11 truther. He's like, whoa.
Yes.
But I was like, Marion Cotillard, my husband has like all these facts about Marion Cotillard being a 9/11 truther.
That's weird.
I think that I know how he came across these facts, but anyway, it was interesting. It made for an interesting conversation. These are my least favorite truthers that we're about to cover.
The Sandy Hook truthers.
Fuck these people.
They are a wacky bunch.
They are the worst people on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm going to say worst people.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
This is a shitty group of people.
Because they go after the parents of Sandy Hook kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we know you're lying about all of this.
Yeah, they like Scientology, these people.
Yeah.
They also
tell us your truths.
To make the shooter seem like a victim.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good point. So Sandy Hook truther, a person who believes that in 2012, the massacre of children at Sandy Hook Elementary School was a hoax orchestrated by the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
Also called a Newtown truther.
Right.
Okay. So basically, there's this shitty lawyer that says...
And dentist, which when you have two professions, like that's weird.
You're not.
Yeah.
You're not either of those things.
Something went wrong.
It's like she's got her... feet in two different states.
Master of none.
She can definitely write you a recommendation for medical marijuana.
Yeah.
She's that kind of doctor.
That's how they're cashing that one in. I agree. Yeah. Orly Tates.
Tates.
T-A-I-T. That's a porn name also.
It sure
Orly Tates is a porn name.
Yeah, it is.
She was quoted by saying, Adam Lanza was drugged and hypnotized by his handlers to make him into a killing machine as an excuse for as the regime is itching to take all the means of self-defense from the populace before the economic collapse.
That was like a riddle.
Yeah.
She's a shithead. I'm sorry. I just think that look, if you're pro-gun, fine. You're pro-gun. It's in the Constitution. I can't argue that.
And
I'm kind of middle of the road with this issue, to be completely honest. Like, I feel like we're at where we're at. And I don't know how we could ever get to a place where everyone just turns in their guns.
Yeah, that's, it's not going to happen.
I'm kind of like cool with just, all right, we live in the gun country.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, and also we don't live in Brazil or something crazy like that. So let's just all calm down for a minute. But if you're going to fucking take this as proof that the government is trying to take away your guns, you're a bad person, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Can we just.
It's weird. They must. I've never looked into this one that much.
There's nothing. I tried. There's nothing there. So also, this other guy, Clyde Lewis, here, go up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Said, don't you find it at all interesting that Adam Lanza, the alleged shooter at Sandy Hook, woke up one day and decided to shoot up a school and kill children at about the same time that Barack Obama told the UN that he would sign in the Small Arms Treaty? Listen.
How are those related?
I do find it interesting that a guy with a bowl cut got up and decided to kill a bunch of kids. There's another word for it. Horrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is interesting.
Yeah.
Mental illness is interesting.
And it's...
Oh my God. I get so fired up about this. It makes me so mad.
Yeah.
And then it just, no one, regardless of what side of the gun control issue they're on, can deny that guns played a role in the Sandy Hook killing. So the conspiracy theorists must instead challenge the claim that the attack even occurred, which is a great point. So like basically, the only defense they have is that it didn't fucking happen.
Right. Which is such a crazy defense.
Why? Like what? Yeah. I don't understand. There's only one person that's actually famous for being a Sandy Hook truther. They're not famous for anything else, but this guy, this fucking cunt face, Adam Hunt, Brendan Hunt. Basically, he says that I believe that this event was pulled off by a group of tactical police officers of some kind, not specific, working as a unit, and that they didn't complete their job in time before the local police showed up and busted up whatever the operation they had going on. So your theory, this is your fucking theory, and you're willing to mobilize crazies on the internet that end up showing up at the homes of people that have lost their children in this horrific way for that theory?
Yeah.
The worst truther.
Yeah. There's a lot of these out there. And I don't know if we'll have time to get into it all, but I saw you had the crisis actors at the bottom. Big part of this.
This
is actually where I first heard the term crisis actors was around the Sandy Hook.
Let's skip over this other one because I think this is one that everybody talks about.
The Holocaust deniers.
Yeah, everybody knows that these people exist. And it's the same fucking people.
They're having a great year. I mean, they're really on the rise again. Like, they're hot right now. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people do still know a lot about them.
Yeah. So let's just talk about crisis actors because I think this is a good way to close out the episode. I find it interesting that the theory of the crisis actor has emerged because, frankly, it's the only way for some of these theories to even make any sense. You'd have to somehow explain the footage of the shit that goes down.
Right.
So the crisis actor, truth or theory, is that there's a troupe of merry playsmen that travel the country and show up and pretend to be horrified at these events.
Right.
And they think that...
They're like gypsies or like...
The big one here...
A band of merry men and women.
I wonder if I can find the video. Cause
the girl?
There's one in particular. There's a dad who's going to... One second.
Do you think they have SEG cards?
He's going to get...
They better at least be union.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able
to find same it. Crisis actor at multiple shooting events.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to find the right video. But there's a video of a guy getting ready to address the public, and he just laughs for a little bit before he goes up to talk.
Clearly he's an
actor. And people are like, whoa, why would you laugh? Why would you? It's like, maybe someone told him a fucking joke. It's a tense situation. Someone might be trying to lighten the mood. Jesus Christ. Let the guy laugh. It's such a insane theory.
Well, in order for them to be right, they have to then rob these people of not only their privacy, but of their pain.
Right.
Like, right.
To justify their limp dick theories about gun control. Like, seriously, I hope you were fucked by a horse in your life, like, and you didn't like it or something. Like, I have no respect for a person like this.
Yeah.
I can't. It's either that or your life was perfect and you just you don't understand that people experience pain.
Right.
Like,
this is, this is one of the YouTube videos, actors at Sandy Hook. Parent laughing at press interview. And the guy, they haven't even shown him yet. So that guy, he like walks up smiling and laughing and then delivers.
Did you catch that? That's what the screen says.
Did you catch that? Like, that could have been him nervous about having to appear on camera.
I mean, maybe
there are
that
so
was
many things.
Poor manners, but that doesn't mean that.
Yeah,
there's
so many other things that could be.
Also, what if he's a shitty parent and loves the attention?
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a possibility, but that's not our problem.
Right. Like, and it doesn't mean the fucking event didn't happen.
No, just because someone's laughing. I mean, I remember the night of my mom's funeral was... I probably laughed harder that night than I had laughed in years.
Yeah.
Like, I had friends around, and I mean, I'm not saying that's what this guy was experiencing, but it's just a person that can't process humanity, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I guess that would have to be your problem. If you're a person that really buys into this theory, you just must not like humans.
Yeah, kind of.
Or you
just love guns. Man, do they love guns.
Why?
I don't know. It's in the Constitution.
I just, what do you like, jack off to the Constitution? There's like a
me
weird...
Me personally? Yeah.
Never mind. We've already had
you
that
should
talk.
See what he does when he gets to the amendments.
Yeah.
The pages stick together.
Yeah. I'll add an amendment to your Constitution,
hey-o,
America.
Hey-o.
Ho.
So they also think the crisis actors were at the Boston Marathon and the Orlando shooting.
Yep.
They placed them, Carrie.
Do they think they're going to get like residual checks like every time it shows on TV?
It's going to be my big break.
These limousine liberals cashing in on all of this gun control propaganda.
You know what? Not to go back to 9/11, but I would love to do an episode where we cover the people who lied about being in the trade centers that day.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love that.
Like Steve Ranazzisi?
Yes.
There's a lot of them.
And then did you see him crash and burn, but on the roast battle?
No.
Oh,
I didn't watch roast battle. Yeah.
He totally fucked up.
Why would you walk into a room full of comedians that all knew that you lied about being on?
Well, they made fun of him in the roast battle for it. And then after, they were just like, wow, you know, this is big of you to show up. Like, most people wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you show up to a roast battle Well, one, why would he do that in the first place?
Why would he lie about being
question one
in the Twin Towers?
People do that, though.
Yeah,
people do.
I mean, that's first of all, that was a very easy day to lie about being present for,
right?
Honestly,
or that you had a loved one in the tower. I mean, there's lots of things.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot. I mean, there's just, anytime you have that kind of chaos, you know. But he's just clearly a sick individual, also. Like, and I just think it's weird that you're a person can, like, if you're pursuing a high, like, okay, if you're just like a weird person that works in HR or medical billing, and you're never going to do much with your life, you want to lie about being at the World Trade Center, okay. But if you want to be a famous person and you're starting out with, I was at the World Trade Center, there's the internet. That's a problem. Like, it's just, you're going to run into some issues.
People start asking questions.
Do they ever?
Yeah. If like some like sad, sexually frustrated, middle-aged white dude is somewhere in this country convinced that Sandy Hook didn't happen, you better bet your ass that someone's going to figure out that you weren't at ground zero.
Yeah.
Especially if you weren't there.
Yeah, that part especially.
Yeah. Also, like, the other part of that, I mean, for me, is most of the people that were really damaged or victimized by 9/11 were paid out pretty nicely by the airlines. And the only way that happens is if you sign a massive confidentiality contract.
Yeah.
So, and good. Why would you need to talk about that ever again? And I'm glad you got a bunch of money.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, not good for... You get it.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
No, that was pretty awful.
You get what I mean.
Adam.
Sorry, Carrie.
Maybe you didn't like your husband.
Oh, God, I just laughed.
There's a screenplay.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
So should we wrap this up?
I'm just so mad at truthers now.
I know.
Again.
Yeah.
I fucking hate them. They're the worst people.
They're bad.
You know, because I went to Roswell years ago, and I went to the UFO museum.
Kind of boring, right?
Yeah, but it was kind of sweet.
Last year.
It wasn't hurting anybody. This old man who had like had chunks of his face carved out for melanoma stuff, like just old man, craggy face, handed me a cassette player with headphones. And he's like, all right, oh, thanks for coming. You know, you want to start here at this bulletin board and work your way around. You turn on the little cassette and it's like,
yeah, it is fun.
And you're like, oh, this is fun. There's not going to be a fucking Sandy Hook truther center that you can go to, and like, I mean,
no,
there's nothing nice about it. There's no mystery there. You're just a dick.
It's just all awful.
So gross.
Ugh.
Just jacking off to manga, then checking back into your truther
in the
website.
Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That
still. Freedom isn't free.
So we should get out of here. We have to
mosey on.
We have to do another one of these.
Jesus.
Action packed night.
Jesus Christ.
Do you have anything to plug? Either of you?
Yeah.
Thursday.
This comes out this Thursday. I'm trying to think if it's a free episode, and I believe...
Doesn't matter. I can still promote this.
Yeah, either way.
Check out White One True Crime. We have either just covered or are simultaneously at the same moment covering Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. It's probably one of my favorite new episodes recently. It was a really fun documentary to cover. We have a good time on it.
It was silly. Did you watch that, Adam?
I did watch it. It was good. I lost interest in it.
Exactly.
Well, near the end, yeah.
And that's my issue as well.
Fell asleep on the couch even.
Damn.
It was fine.
But our episode is not boring, and you should listen to it. You can find us at White Wine True Crime on Twitter. It's at WWT Crime on Facebook. Just good old White Wine True Crime. You can find us on whitewinetruecrime.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be at CrimeCon for any
in
of you.
9 days.
Jesus, this is happening. I'm so excited. We're going to have so much fun. It's my first con. I've never been to like a Comic Con or.
Me neither.
I did a couple. I've done a few.
Leave it to Carrie and I to have never been to a convention of any kind.
I'm already nervous about the flying. You just wait till you're sitting next to me, Caitlin.
It gets
way worse.
I know.
If I'm getting nervous 9 days before the flight.
I will tell you that we are opening up a Snapchat account next week.
Okay.
So we'll be documenting this whole experience.
Nice. Right?
It's going to be amazing.
What
about you, Adam? Got anything to plug?
Well, you could subscribe to our Patreon.
Great idea.
Yeah. If you want to hear, like, for example, if you wanted to hear this show every single week, you could subscribe to the Patreon. Or if you wanted to hear all of our other podcasts, we have so goddamn many.
Yeah,
and it's only $5 a month.
Yeah.
10 episodes a week. 12 and a half cents an episode. It's less than a payphone call.
Less than a cup of coffee.
Sure is. Way less.
And why support that orphan or whatever?
Yeah.
Just help us.
All right. Carrie, say goodbye.
Pretty scary boo.
Caitlin, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Why? Why? Why?